Thank you, Rick, for your ministry of prayer this morning. It's good to see Brad and Denise Wilson visiting with us this morning. Some of you may recognize Brad. You might recognize him more if he had a big winter coat on and a toque. He passed during the Santa Claus parades and providing Gideon New Testaments that we were able to hand out and bless our community and pray that they would take those little books and actually read them. So thank you so much, Brad, for coming alongside us, and welcome to you and your family. I saw your boys here, George and Josiah, is that right? So be sure to welcome them after the service. Well, you're probably not expecting to see me preaching here this morning. I know I wasn't. Earlier this week, I was thinking everything was going great, and you know, we had lunch on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, he got ambushed by a flu bug. So he's not doing too well right now, so please pray for Bill and for his family. But one of the benefits is that you've got a head start on knowing what the next sermon series will be because it's there on the front cover of your bulletin. When Bill and I were talking about, you know, what sermons, what scriptures we might want to preach through, the book of Acts seems to be where God led us. And so, Lord willing, next Sunday Bill will begin preaching through the book of Acts. But this morning I wish to continue along the lines of my sermon from last Sunday, which was entitled, Why Read the Bible? If you're here or if you listen to my sermon online from our website, then you'll recall what the challenge was that I laid before you. Now, if you haven't heard that message, and you didn't hear that challenge, don't worry, I'll repeat it for you right now. The challenge was this, to resolve to read through the Bible in 2015. It's a journey that I started this past summer, and I will admit, I have not read my Bible every day, but I am reading more of it, and the more that I do, the more I want to read it. And right now, going through Paul's missionary journeys in Acts. And I would again strongly encourage you to read through your Bible this year. Begin in the New Testament. Perhaps you'll find that be an easier way to begin this worthwhile journey through God's Word. You'll become better equipped to do what God wants you to do as the inspired Word of God teaches truth, exposes your sin, corrects your mistakes, and trains you to live God's way. So this morning, I'm going to ask another question to you that I trust will propel you into making, yes, another commitment for 2015, a commitment to your spiritual growth and to your maturity. But I'm not trying to just add another burden to your life. I'm not trying to set you up just to fail. But I am convinced that this is something important for you to do, just as it is important for me to do. I'm convinced it's something we can do on our own with a short commitment of time, and we can also do it with the help of the Spirit and the support of our church family. What I'm talking about is something that I used to do regularly as a child and as a teenager, but shamefully it's something I haven't done regularly for quite a while. So the question that I ask and then answer is going to lead you to make a choice and a commitment, just like it's led me to make a choice and a commitment. Some of us will find this to be easy, while other of us may find it to be a little more difficult, but not impossible. The implementation of this practice will be rewarding. And if you choose to do it, I believe you will see God work in your life in ways you may have only dreamed of. It will nurture your spirit and transform your mind. It will draw you closer to God and further from sin. As we all should desire, should it not be? Closer to God, further from sin. That's my desire. I pray it's yours. Last week, I answered the question, why should I read the Bible? And today, the question is this. Why should I memorize Scripture? Why should I memorize Scripture? I have four reasons why we should. These reasons are not exhaustive, and I'm sure that we could come up with many other valid reasons why we should devote some time to the memorization of God's Word. However, to honor your time and your ability to absorb as much of your mind as what your seat can endure, I'm going to stick to my four points. Excuse me. My point is this. We need to commit ourselves to Scripture memorization because we are in a spiritual war. It was just over 2 years ago when I began a mini-series entitled What Every Believer Needs to Know. My emphasis was this, that we are engaged in a spiritual war. And that was the launching point of a series about spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual war, but not as spectators and not as innocent bystanders in danger of getting caught in a crossfire. Rather, we are engaged in this war as soldiers. Now, this is not a term that we use usually in the church, nor is it considered popular in our culture. If we were to start calling ourselves soldiers of the cross, for example, people would likely try to compare us to Muslim jihadists, whether it's ISIS in the Middle East, cell groups in Paris, or even Boko Haram in Nigeria, who is most recently and tragically in the news. And let me just pause to say that we need to remember to pray for the Christians in these countries, but also for the many people who've been affected by these acts of terrorism, and for the governments to be able to respond quickly with the help that people need. Some people would likely bring up the Crusades if we started calling ourselves Christian soldiers. Yet, to be true to Scripture, we must acknowledge that we are to think of ourselves as soldiers. Paul uses this metaphor in his second letter to Timothy. I encourage you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 to follow along as I read a couple verses so that you can see for it yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 3. This is what Paul writes to young Timothy. He says, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer." Very briefly, Paul is telling Timothy not to lose sight of the truth and the power of the gospel in his ministry. Not to forget that his strength and identity is in Christ, and not to be in the distractions of the world or wrapped up in the praise of men. And he uses this language, like a good soldier of Christ. But Paul uses even stronger language than this in Philippians 2:25, where he calls Epaphroditus his brother, his fellow worker, and fellow soldier. No metaphor there. He calls him his fellow soldier. Now, why would he use that term? Why would God inspire Paul to say that? Is it because the gospel ministry is hard work? Because Christian living requires sacrifice? Because follower of Christ requires self-discipline? I would say yes to all of the above. And yes, also to the fact that we have an enemy and we are at war with him, but also at war with ourselves. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, "We need to take our stand against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces evil in the heavenly realms." We do have an enemy, Satan, or the devil is his name, and we are at war with him. For he's at war against us. But also we are engaged with a war that we find within ourselves. In Romans chapter 7, Paul says, "So this is our reality. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members." What causes fights and quarrels against us, James asks? Well, is it not the desires that battle within us? Peter tells us that sinful desires wage war against our very souls. Brothers and sisters, like it or not, Scripture is clear. When you became a follower of Christ, you were drafted. You are a soldier. You are in a spiritual war. And this is one of the reasons why we must commit ourselves to Scripture memorization. Secondly, we need to commit ourselves to Scripture memorization because of the weapon we use in this spiritual war, namely the Word of God. Please turn to Matthew chapter 4, the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 4. And beginning in verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. We'll just pause there. And we say, 40 days, 40 nights, fasting, no food. Yeah, I think I'd be hungry too. Jews often practice fasting in order to develop a greater spiritual receptivity. In other words, it was a time when they would deprive themselves of physical nourishment in order to receive spiritual nourishment out of their union with God. Instead of taking physical food to satisfy their physical hunger, the fast would be a reminder that only God can truly satisfy our deepest spiritual longings. And that spiritual food would come alongside through meditating on Scripture, reading the Word, prayer, and being in solitude. So here we find Jesus in solitude. He's out in the wilderness, out in the desert, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, along the devil to tempt Jesus, to try to entice him to sin. Verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Saying, "Hey, you've been out here 40 days. I know you're hungry. I don't think God would mind if you made yourself a little snack. You can stop relying on God now. Just go ahead, turn these stones into bread and enjoy." In essence, the devil was tempting Jesus to give his physical needs priority over spiritual needs, to rely upon himself instead of relying upon God the Father. Jesus parried Satan's attack with Scripture. Verse 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So Satan is pushed back. But he comes again. Verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." The devil asks Jesus to demonstrate God's miraculous ability to preserve his life, and he even cites Scripture to justify the test that he has now put in front of Jesus. But pardon the pun, Jesus does not fall for it, even though the devil enticed him to sin by misquoting Psalm 91. You see, the devil's deception was an attempt to confuse Jesus into testing God's faithfulness by manufacturing a situation where he would try to force God to act. But the context of the psalm that Satan misquoted was that of protection in all one's ways from stumbling, from tripping, not from deliberately putting oneself in harm's way. So Jesus, again, successfully counterattacked by quoting Scripture. Verse 7, Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Satan doesn't give up so easily, does he? Verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Satan offers Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, all the power, all the authority, all the prestige, all the wealth, instant gratification, apart from going to the cross. But Jesus rightly rejects the devil's offer and quotes Scripture a third time. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The example for us is clear. For us to win the spiritual war we're engaged in, we must use a spiritual weapon. And that weapon is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We cannot expect success by using reason, by using logic, argumentation, or even a quick wit. And nor can we expect to have success by hiding or running away. We're to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Stand your ground, stand firm in Christ's power, in God's enablement, and with the provisions that He has provided, which includes a weapon, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. As I continue to build my argument for Scripture memorization, remember that you are soldiers in a spiritual battle, and that we have a weapon to defend and to attack when we come under fire, and that is the Word of God. Third, we need to memorize Scripture because the battle is fierce, and by and large, we are unprepared for it. Because the battle is fierce, and by and large, we are unprepared. Or, as another person put it, we are unskilled to wage this war. If you have to go to court, you probably want to have a lawyer who's trained and skilled in understanding and interpreting the law so that you are able to be defended aptly, correctly. If you're the owner of a professional sports team, you want to gather athletes who are skilled, athletes who have certain abilities that will enable your team to win. Not just win a game every now and then, or less frequently for some of our Toronto sports teams, but to win and go through the grueling season and to win eventually the championship. About a month ago, I bumped into Sebastian and Ingrid and Valeria at the Caledon Recreation Center. And Valeria had just finished swimming lessons because her hair was wet, and we had a chance to talk. And I would imagine whether it's lessons or even a fun swim, a public swim, you want to know that the lifeguards are there and they train. They know how to swim and they know basic first aid, how to perform CPR in case your daughter or any of the other children or people there run into problems, and they need to be resuscitated, they need to be rescued. Court battles, athletic competitions, fighting for life, these are three simple examples of difficulties we might face where we depend upon skilled and trained people to help us. Well, as Christians living in this world, We also face difficulties. We're no different. We're not immune. So recall with me Jesus' words, in this world you will have trouble. You will receive insult, persecution, and slander if you are a follower of Jesus. You'll encounter people, and many of you may have stories to share, who are close-minded to the gospel, to church, to things of Scripture, and they can argue their point seemingly persuasively, and you just kind of wilt under the pressure that they're just kind of heaping on you. Yeah, so we encounter those troubles, don't we? Those difficulties. There's also this malicious entity against whom we struggle against. Scripture calls him Satan, the devil, the prince of this world, the father of lies, the great deceiver, the accuser of the brethren. And he's depicted as a lion on the hunt. And we are his prey. And so how are we to protect ourselves? How are we to prepare ourselves for when he attacks? How are we to develop the required skills to fight these battles and emerge victorious? And what about the war within ourselves? Flesh versus spirit, old creation versus new creation, the practice of sinfulness versus the pursuit of holiness. Proverbs 24:6 says that for waging war, we need guidance, and for victory, many advisors. So, where do we find this guidance? Which advisors do we speak to? Well, we find that in our use of God's Word, with our use of the sword of the Spirit. And I'm being very intentional when I say use, because we talk a lot about God's Word. We think highly of God's Word, but usually we don't do anything with it. And statistics bear this out. I remind you of the Lifeway Research Survey I referenced last week of almost 1,100 mainline and evangelical Protestant Canadians. 34% of those surveyed rarely or never read the Bible outside of church. An additional 27% responded that they read the Bible at least once a month, once every 3 to 4 weeks. And more than half of these 1,100 respondents additionally said that they rarely or never study the Bible. Sisters and brothers, the Canadian church today is full of biblically illiterate Christians who are unskilled, who are unprepared to face trouble, hardship, persecution, malaise, indifference, and the daily spiritual battle that occurs from Satan, that comes against us from the outside, but also the sin that wages war against us in the inner person, on the inside. And we are not able to handle these challenges to the authority of God's Word. We cannot address the peer pressure that threatens godly living. And many in the church are content to go with the flow of the culture, disregarding biblical standards of belief, conduct, and practice. And many Christians have chosen to blend into the world, perhaps for the sake of convenience, disregarding their call to be salt and light in our increasingly dark world. And the sword at our disposal that has been given to us is heavy. It's heavy in our hand due to our neglect of reading, of studying it, and memorizing it. I quote the following comment from pastor and author Warren Wiersbe in his book, Be What You Are. And he says this, "Material swords are dead and grow dull. But our spiritual sword is living and gets sharper the more we use it. The soldier does not give power to the sword. The sword gives power to the soldier." If you feel spiritually weak, If you have a desire for God's sword to empower you, to make you skilled and effective, not only in your spiritual battles, but also in your daily living, then we as individuals and we as a church must read the Bible. We must study the Bible. And I contend this morning, we must memorize the Bible. My fourth and final argument why we need to memorize Scripture is because when we memorize it, it makes our weapon available to us as a protector and as our counselor. Why do teachers insist that their students memorize their times tables? Is it not more than to help them pass their exam? I mean, that may be the immediate goal, but the long-term value is that knowing your times tables will help you throughout your life. And I today still use my times tables. I may not think of it as a times tables, but because that was something that I learned, it was ingrained in me, it stuck with me all this time, and I can use it. It comes great, especially playing Uno against my daughter, and when I lay down, a couple draw four cards, and she's got to pick up cards, and you know, then I go out and everything. Well, it's good for her to learn her times tables too, but it's helpful, right? Why do referees, umpires in professional sports have to read and reread and go over and memorize these thick rule books? So that when something happens on the field, they can make a call like that. Just briefly last night, I watched a little bit of football, and you know there were some plays, and there was an infraction, and just like that, out goes the flag, and the call is made. And now I didn't see the umpire, you know, get his rule book out and go, okay, now what was the infraction, and okay, what's the penalty for that? You don't see that happening. They know what they're doing, and they call the game. Why do we not insist on each other to memorize Scripture? The stakes are high. The heat is on. We need to withstand against the devil. We need to stand firm because we are soldiers in this spiritual war. And God's word, God's glory, your holiness is so much more important than a sporting contest. It is so much more valuable for us to be rooted and firmly established in Christ and being able to use God's word to defend ourselves when temptation comes, when we're enticed to sin. Why don't we encourage one another to memorize Scripture? Maybe we doubt the power of God's Word. Maybe we don't think it's as effective as it says it is. Or maybe we believe that we can handle things on our own. We don't depend on God's Word. Or we might think it's important for our children to memorize Scripture verses. But as an adult, no, I'm past that. I'm beyond that. I've been a Christian for 30 years. I don't need to memorize the Bible. I'm reminded of a story that was just told to me a couple weeks ago. Actually, it was my brother Ron who shared it with me. A story about his dad. He was telling me that number of years ago, one of their clients was complaining about a number of these tools that Ron and his dad's company built and how they were always breaking or falling apart. You know, they just weren't performing the way they were supposed to perform. And so, Ron and his dad, they did their investigation. I'm sure they checked things out at the shop, but then they went down to visit their client and to see, if there's any validity to their claims. And I guess as they were meeting with some of the people, there was one of the machine operators was there, and he said, I guess as a way of saying, hey, I know what I'm doing. I've been an operator here for, 30 years. So Ron's dad just kind of took that in for a moment and said, well, it doesn't mean that you're yeah, it seems kind of harsh, but, it's a good point. Maybe you have been a Christian for many years. Are you a good one? Are you a victorious Christian? Are you a Christian that's full of joy, the joy of the Lord? For our growth, for our contentment, ability to stand firm against the devil's schemes, we need to memorize Scripture. And I dare say that none of us are too old to do that. Memorizing Scripture makes our weapon available to us as our protector and as our counselor. We don't need to rely on carrying a Bible with us wherever we go. We don't need to open our Bible app and use a search function. We don't need to have one of the pastors on our speed dial so that we can ask them a question. Although you could do that. But you need to do that because if you are memorizing God's Word, the Spirit will enable you to use what you've stored in your heart, what you've stored in your mind, effectively, and to live a godly life in this godless world. So get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her. She will watch over you. Proverbs 4, 5, and 6. Or how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I have hidden your word where? My heart, that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, 9 and 11. The counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, says Jesus. He will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I was directed to the disciples who'd spent 3 years following Jesus, listening to Jesus, learning from Jesus. How will you remember Jesus' words? How will you be reminded of God's word if you don't read it? How will you be able to protect yourself from error? I'm talking about doctrinal error. If you don't study God's word, how will you be able to receive help against the devil's attack unless you train yourself to use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, that you have in your hands? Or if it's not in your hands, then shamefully left at home. The bottom line is you won't, at least not with any type of consistency. And that is why you need to read, study, and memorize Scripture. That's why I'm reading through my Bible this year. That's why I'm exhorting you to read through yours, and why I am now exhorting you or insisting that you choose to memorize Scripture regularly so that you will be biblically literate, so that you'll be able to live out what you believe, that you'll succeed more than fail, so that you'll be more holy and less sinful, that you'll be more mature in your faith so that you can help others grow. And so, here's something really practical for you now. I am recommending to you a tool that was recommended to me. And what it is, it's an app. Now, some of you, maybe many of you, have a smartphone. And this is an app. It's called Fighter Versus. Okay? Fighter Versus. It only costs $3.49. Now, I'm not one to buy a lot of apps. I like the ones that are free. But as I was telling John, because it was John who directed this to me and the other elders, I went on to purchase it on Friday, and it said, sorry, we're making modifications. I went back on Saturday and discovered they raised the price by 50 cents, thanks to the weak Canadian dollar. But it's $3.50 that I believe, as I've looked through it, will be a small price to pay to help you memorize God's Word. So how it goes is this. I wish I could show this on the screen so you'd see it as well. But it gives you 5 years, 5 years of a scripture memory plan. And you learn one or two verses a week, so it's not all that onerous. The memory verse starting tomorrow is this. It's Matthew 9:13. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. You can, if you don't have a smartphone, you can put that as your home page on your laptop or your computer. You can get reminders by email what memory verse it is that you can memorize for the week. You can, I think there's a way you can use, if you're on Facebook, any social media, you know, Twitter and whatnot, you can get there about what the memory verse is so that it reminds you. And you know what, if you use your smartphone a lot, or your tablet, or your computer, this is a very easy and practical way that you can start memorizing God's Word. The flower will fade, the grass will wither, but the Word of God will last forever. I invite the worship team to come forward and lead us in closing song. And as they come, let me remind you of this. It was a hymn that I sung in my home church. The Bible stands, and it will forever when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and to prove it and make it mine. So will you choose today for 2015 to memorize God's Word, to hide God's Word in your heart? Will you plant your feet on the Word of God, a firm foundation? I hope you will. Please stand and let's sing together. Heavenly Father, may we hide your Word in our heart this week, beginning today. May we devote ourselves to become students of your Word. But Father, we don't want to do it just so we can say that we've mastered the Bible. Lord, we want your Word to master us. Lord, to influence and affect and be a part of our daily lives. For when we keep your Word, you will keep us. Your Word will keep us from sin when we hide it in our hearts. And so, Father, the choices, the decisions that we make today, would you please sanctify those and keep us faithful to these choices that we've made. Help us to be supportive and encouraging to one another in the memorization of Scripture, whether a husband with his wife or as parents to children. May we all embark on this worthwhile journey of this important ministry of your Word in our lives. We thank you and praise you and ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.